for one to deny the religious confusion in the world would be to have one's head in the sand, would it not? Well, it's obvious that there is so much confusion, yes, in the religious world. But God is not the author of this confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 makes that clear. Well, we know there are different doctrines teaching opposite concepts and yet claiming to be following God's word. And there's so many, it's too numerous to mention. So does this not cause one to ask, why is there so much confusion in the religious world? Well, yes, it would. And this very important question that we're going to study this morning comes to mind in this regard. And that is, can we understand the Bible alike? And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, and in our worship assembly, we strive to worship God in spirit and in truth, that is, with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And something else to mention, we look forward to having Bible studies. And if you have questions, Bible questions, or comments, positive or negative, we always appreciate getting those. So you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we answer the question, can we understand the Bible alike? Well, let's start with what some have said. We're all familiar with Thomas Paine, yes, one of the founding fathers of our country. Well, he did some good things, no doubt, but in his Age of Reason, his statement concerning the Bible was based on how many religious leaders were speaking things contrary to one another. Well, that's judging the Bible by what others have said. And that's not a proper judgment, is it? So, certainly that's not a situation for us to follow. I experienced on occasion people making a statement such as this, no one can understand the Bible. Well, that's pretty sad. I remember working at a hospital outside of Memphis, Tennessee, and it was a night shift that I was on, and we had time to sit around after making the rounds and discuss various things. And this is what one of the nurses said. And I heard this from inmates that I would study with in various prisons. And no doubt you have heard similar statements as well. Well, what would it mean if the answer is no, as some of these, as we're talking about, have said? Well, if we cannot understand the Bible alike, it would mean that the Bible is not the Word of God, because God is perfect, and God is a just God, Deuteronomy 32:4. And God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie, Hebrews 6:18. Notice Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect. That's right. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, we can understand, what the Bible is revealing to us. Now, there's difficult passages, of course, because we study the Bible all our life. We're not going to ever feel like we've arrived and no longer need to study. But we're speaking of what we're to do in order to please God. We can understand alike what we're to do in the worship service, the work of the church, in obeying the gospel, all these things, the organization of the church. We can understand these things alike. The Bible is the verbal, plenary, inspired, all authoritative Word of God. Word all, plenary all. It's every word inspired. It's all authoritative. And the evidence is overwhelming. We could study that some other time, perhaps, giving evidence after evidence for the inspiration of the Bible. Notice with me 2 Timothy 3:16-17. This is what the Bible says about itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's nothing lacking. It's the all-sufficient guide for us in this life to serve God properly, to glorify God as we do His will and look forward to that home in heaven. It's thoroughly furnishing us to all good works. Now, the Word of God has revealed to us that we can understand the Bible alike. So, of course, no cannot be the answer to our question, can we understand the Bible alike? No is not the answer. Yes, of course, is the answer. As Jesus prayed before His arrest and crucifixion for single-mindedness of His followers. Let's go to John 17. This is the prayer before Jesus was arrested and went to the cross for our sins. Notice verses 20 through 23, John 17. Neither pray I for these alone. Jesus had started out praying for Himself. And then He prayed for His apostles. That's who he's talking about here. For neither pray I for these alone, the apostles, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. That would be all of us today included, if we believe on Christ through the inspired Word of God and having obeyed. Now notice that they all may be one. As Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us. Now that's unity. That the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me, and the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Now, would anybody want to disagree with Christ and say, well, we can't be together as one? We better not go against what Jesus said. We better accept that, because that's the Word of God. That was God in the flesh praying to God the Father. Notice, as John 5:19 revealed, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, that these also doeth the Son likewise. Of course, God the Son and God the Father agree perfectly in perfect harmony. Now notice with me, Acts 4:32, shortly after the church had begun on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. This is what was occurring, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Now, there weren't denominations in the first century. This is the church of Christ that began there in Acts 2. And it's multiplying, and the followers, them that believed, the followers of Christ that obeyed the gospel, they're of one heart and one soul. And they were hearing the truth. Now, Paul exhorted the Christians by the authority of Christ that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. So there's to be no division. That's not proper. And that's why there's confusion in the religious world, because there is all this division. But that's not God's doing. That's man's doing. God would have us to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, which is only possible if we stay with the same standard, the pattern, the rule that we're to walk by. And we can understand it. As we've seen, the Bible is clearly making that known. 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." That's right. They're not. We could not love God if we could not understand His commandments. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." Therefore, if we cannot keep His commandments because we can't understand them, we can't love Him. The point is, we can understand His commandments, and we must keep them in order to love Jesus. Would everybody say, yes, that's right? Well, we better, because that's the truth. And since God is just, and Jesus said that we will be judged by His Word, we can be assured that we can understand His Word. In John 12:48, notice with me, "Yes, he that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." We're all going to be judged by the same standard on the day of judgment. There won't be different creeds and different doctrines that we're judged by, just the one. "The word that I have spoken," Jesus said, that's the standard. And if we reject His words, we reject Him. That's right. That's what the Bible says. And notice Philippians 3:16. "Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." Philippians 3:16. The same rule. That's the pattern. That's how we're able to stay in perfect unity as God would have us to be. Let's go now to Ephesians 4:3-6. Here's the seven ones of unity. Notice with me. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There is one body. Unity of organization. One church. The body of Christ. The church of Christ. One Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible. So that's unity of revelation. "Even as you are called in one hope of your calling." Unity of aim and purpose. We all want to serve God faithfully and be together in heaven for eternity. That's our aim and our purpose, isn't it? "One Lord." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is with all authority. Matthew 28:18. "One faith." One doctrine. One gospel. One system of faith. That's right. "One baptism." That would be unity of practice. Obedience. Yes, "one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Here's unity of worship and devotion to God the Father. But notice, the gospel of Christ is the one system of faith. Now notice Romans 1:5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith, that's the system of faith, among all nations for his name. Now Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that, notice, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There it is. Let's understand that. One gospel. And this is what we need to practice. We need to preach the truth from God's word and not give indication that we're for all this division. Of course not. Now, let's ask this question. Why are men unable to understand the Bible alike? Because there's so much confusion and religious division, and we all know that. But we need to understand why. Is this the case? And we can see several answers to this question if we think about it. For example, dogmas of various denominations are placed over the eyes. So when you go to the Bible, what do you see? Well, you see what you want to see. You're going to the Bible to prove what you already believe. That's not honestly studying God's Word with an open mind. That's a problem. You're not going to understand the Bible, of course, when you do that. We must study honestly, as 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we understand we're under the law of Christ. We're not under the law of Moses. We're not going to go to the Old Testament to see what to do in order to obey the gospel of Christ. How are we to worship God? We're going to go to the New Testament, not the Old. We study the Old. We preach from it. But we understand we're under the law of Christ. Now, notice Mark 7:7-9. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. And here's an example, is the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. That's one of the answers, isn't it? Why are men unable to understand the Bible alike? Because they're following the tradition of men and not the Word of God. Number two, why are men unable to understand the Bible alike? Because they elevate their own opinion above faith. I believe the worship service would be better if it was done the way I like it. Well, some people might like to have fireworks displayed. All kinds of things we could talk about there, but that's elevating human opinion above faith. One thinking he knows better than God. God's given us five avenues to worship him scripturally and with a proper attitude, in spirit and in truth. And that is to pray, to sing, make melody in the heart. That's without the accompaniment of mechanical instruments, because the command is specific. And partake of the Lord's Supper. That's every first day of the week. And to give of our means as we've been prospered. And to preach the word. Those are the five avenues of worship. If we add to that, take away, we're elevating human opinion above faith. Pride is the problem there, isn't it? And that can destroy us. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we don't want to be guilty of elevating our opinion above faith. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved? Do we love the truth? We must, or else we're not going to be saved. Number three, why are men unable to answer the Bible alike? Why are they unable to answer the Bible alike? Well, that's a question we need to answer, and here is another answer to give. Deception. Following another person who may be very loving, but is not teaching the truth. Nor are they submitting to the will of God. This could be our parents, our husband or wife, our son or daughter, whoever we're close to. It may be a very loving person, but if they're not teaching the truth, we're being deceived. Satan is at work through many false teachers and preachers who use God's word deceitfully. Beware, Jesus said, of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They don't look like a wolf, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Sugar may drip off their lips. Smooth speakers, dynamic speakers, whatever you want to describe them as, but if they're not staying with the Word of God, we need to understand they're leading us astray. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. People are not seeing the gospel. They're not seeing the truth because they're blinded by false teachers who use God's word deceitfully. And no matter how sincere a person seems to be, we're not to place that person above God's word. Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Do we understand that? That's what the Lord said. In Luke 14:26, the word hate is used, meaning love less, of course. Number four, another answer to our question, why are men unable to understand the Bible alike? Ignorance of the truth. And this is probably the main reason, because most people just do not study the Bible. For example, the Jews. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, now notice, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. When you don't really know the truth, you may be establishing your own righteousness, thinking, oh, I'm close to God. I'm going to be in heaven for all eternity because I'm so religious. But if you may be zealous of God, but if it's not according to knowledge, you're just fooling yourself, as the Jews were. And how many people today thinking within themselves that they are in good standing with God? Like Paul, for example. He was, a devout Jew, and he was arresting Christians, consenting to Stephen being stoned to death. And he did it with a clear conscience. Acts 26:9, you see, he did it in ignorance of the truth. But when he learned the truth and obeyed the gospel, he was forgiven of all those sins. Yes, so let's not be deceived, and let's study God's word and not be ignorant of it. Now, with the time left, let's ask this question. How can we see the Bible alike? First of all, remove anything that would stand in the way of us receiving the truth. Remove the prejudices, traditions, pride, deceptions, practicing religion for convenience sake, and not having the proper motive. 1 Peter 2:1-2, wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, get those out of the way. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's how we can grow. and having that desire as a little baby desires the mother's milk. That's the desire we need to have. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, James 1:21. Number two, how can we see the Bible like? Have a determination to know what the Bible teaches. Seek, and ye shall find, Matthew 7:7. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience, Luke 8:15. That's the kind of heart we must have. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So as we close, do we desire to know God's will? What would God have us to do? We must not just give lip service, but do God's will, Matthew 7:21. Now, let's ask ourselves, do we have a good and honest heart? Luke 8:15, are we ready to receive the truth, have the engrafted word into our minds? We can understand the Bible alike. We can dwell together in unity. The Bible reveals this to us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. We can understand how to be saved and how to obey the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, or we'll die in our sins, John 8:24. We must repent of our sins, making a change of wills, Luke 13:3-5, Acts 17:30. We must confess before others that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. This is unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Now we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. As you see in John 19:33-34, Jesus was dead already, so they didn't break his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. When we're buried into the death of Christ, we're buried with him by baptism into death. Study Romans 6:3-6. This is where we contact his precious blood that washes away our sins, Acts 22:16. Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, as Ananias told Saul, that would be Paul later. That's what we must do. Wash away our sins by the blood of Christ in that watery grave. This is what we can understand alike if we stay with the gospel of Christ. And after we obey the gospel, the Lord adds us to his body. We're not going to join a church, Acts 2:47. The Lord adds us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful even unto death. We thank you so much for listening today.